Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Don't forget, you can watch all 8 games on KO Sport. Now let's get into the last game of the round. Sharks defeat the Cowboys 42-6. Man, what a performance by the Sharkies. We've been having questions about, okay, this year they need to show that they're ruthless. They need to show that, you know, when a team is down, you know, put them out. On the weekend, they were absolutely ruthless. They played some of the best footy I've seen them play. And there is not much more they can do this year outside of the loss they had maybe the Tigers. But in saying that, I think the Tigers are better than a lot of people give them credit for this year. But outside of loss to the Tigers, there's not much more this Sharky side can do this year to let us know that they're someone to be noticed.
Yeah, for sure. And I think week on week, you know, we spoke about it a lot in the preseason, but I think week on week that halves combination is
getting better and better. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I was saying I was really concerned about the start of the season. I thought it'd take time, and I think they're going to have it sort of a lot quicker than I thought they would. Mate, Itoh ran for 200 metres without a line break or anything.
Every run, he wins a contact.
Yep.
Every single run.
Yeah. Before I do like my have a look at the weekend punts leading into the round, and I sort of straight away go to teams with weaknesses, where's a weak edge, where's a weak this, that, and, you know, put them around that. Look at the Sharks at the moment, and particularly the way they're playing. I don't really see a weakness in their 1-17. Mm. Like last year, the left edge defensively with sort of Wilton and Moylan, they were struggling a bit. That's been rectified this year. They can score from anywhere. Their halves are really starting to gel. They have awesome impact off the bench. Now, this isn't saying they're the perfect team and they don't have any issues, but I just don't see any standout weaknesses. Like, do they have the explosiveness in the forward pack to compete with the best and win a comp? Maybe, maybe not, but really hard to be critical of what they're dishing up at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, they might be a 7.5 out of 10. Like, for example, their lowest concern, like the biggest concern in their team, might be 7.5, 10. So you might look at their forward pack and go, probably compared to other forward packs, it's about a 7.5 or an 8. Then you could go to Hines and you go, Hines is top tier. Their back line, close to top tier. And so even though they don't have weaknesses, doesn't necessarily mean, as you said, that they're going to be winning comps. Yeah. But at the same time, it's a great foundation to build off. And it's also a great foundation to bring a guy like Adam Fanua Blake in. You put AFB in that side, then all of a sudden it goes, okay, that forward pack goes from, 7.5, 8 out of 10 to maybe a 9 out of 10. I just love the balance of their side. There's an argument to be had. Who replaces Hines if he gets injured? They do have the young, I can't believe I'm getting his name.
Puru.
They've got him. So at the very least, he's a New South Wales Cup half. Goes all right.
You got Kay Dykes as well. Like, yep. You could play Trindle at 7, Dykes at 6.
Yep. So depth-wise, they're okay there. At 9, they've got good depth. At fullback, Mulatalo could play back there. Dykes could play back there.
Spot. Great squad management.
You know what I mean? So it's a really good depth management in regards to different positions. Even front row, like seeing Uele play his first game. It was his first game this year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even really talk about it that much, but they're missing one of their main front rowers.
Finucane and Enroyce aren't coming back from injury still. Like, they are.
Yeah. So I really like – the Sharks could not have done much more than what they've – outside of, like, going out and toweling everyone up, they couldn't have done much more than what they've done to start the season.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, if they can keep up this form and they can get to finals, you know, it would be great if they won a comp, obviously. But, you know, if they can just go deeper into finals and then all of a sudden you head into next season with all these guys, another successful year under their belt with finals, and you add AFB to this side – they're going to be a fucking handful of Cronulla Sharks.
AFB in this side, it begins to get a bit scary.
Like, it's almost just like a luxury buy. Like, you probably don't need it, but having him is just going to take you to another level.
Yeah.
Talakai was the form centre of the first month of the NRL. He's a middle forward for them now.
Well, what I love about that, though, is it gives them some explosiveness through the middle that they may have lacked a little bit. You know, with Iro playing so well... and you can bring Talakai on for 20, 30 minutes. Now, don't get me wrong, like, it's still – the jury's still out in regards to, you know, he was outstanding at centre. But at the same time, what a luxury to have where you go, okay, Talakai, we're going to bring you on around the 20-minute mark or 30-minute mark, whatever minute mark it is, and we just want you to go hard for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. That's a massive luxury to have.
Well, my thoughts when I saw Iro 14 runs at half time, just immediately went to – all right, if he's trying to press his case for keeping that centre spot over Talakai, like, what does Sifa bring that Iro doesn't bring? And that big thing is the yardage, the metres, the work rate from centre. And Iro's gone out and done that, possibly and then some. Like, 14 runs at halftime with, what? How many metres did he end up with?
212.
212. It's like, all right.
24 carries.
Talakai does the same. So, yeah. But he's quicker. Mm. He's more agile. All that.
And also, from a team balance perspective, you get Talakai off the bench. So not only do you get that meters that Talakai was delivering, now you could make the argument Iro hasn't had the same try assist that, you know, Talakai had. Insane, that's been a couple of games. So maybe squad balance-wise, it is better to have, because Iro is probably not going to be able to do what Talakai can do in the forwards.
Because I've always been critical of just Fitzy picking the four-forward bench, but I think with Sifa off the bench, who covers the outside backs, it allows him that luxury of having four-forward bench.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Oh, Atkinson's another guy in the halves that they've got for depth, even fullback. I thought Will Kennedy was outstanding on the weekend. A try assist, 148 metres, 27 post-contact, 8 tackle breaks. I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah, I think he was the Paul Green medalist out of this one. So very good performance from Kennedy. I thought Stone Street was good too, mate, making his debut.
Scoring in the corner there.
Scored a try. And
that was awesome.
But also, like, there was carnage on that hill there, wasn't it?
Oh, mate.
Bloody hell.
There was a few times where, like, he went up to take high balls and everything that were really contested, and, yeah, he did well.
How was his first take over the top of Val? First touch in the NRL.
So
that
good.
That was a joke.
Yeah, so good. Who stood out for you, Hammy?
Well, Hines, obviously, just the amount of defence that he had to do as well. 31 tackles he made, just missed two of them. He made the fourth most tackles of any Sharks players, and he had the best tackle efficiency out of those four as well. So really aimed up there, something he's been looking to work on, and really rounding out his game well. You mentioned if someone goes down, if they need another six for New South Wales, maybe he's the guy to go to.
Well, he had 130 run metres.
Yeah.
Isn't it just so good to see with Hines, though? Like, you know, he came out of last season with, you know, some poor defensive plays in Origin that everyone highlighted. He then went to that Kangaroos game, played off the bench there, and came up with a poor missed tackle. He's obviously gone away in the off-season. And, you know, he's won a Dally M. He's come second or third in the Dally M the year after. Like, he could have quite easily gone away and gone, give me a break. I'm the best attacking player in this competition.
Yeah, like, instead, two tiny moments out of position.
Yeah,
like,
but he's taken it on board, and he's knuckled down this off-season. His defence has improved out of sight. Yeah.
He's been outstanding defensively. And I'll just – that Warriors game, I'll just never forget that. Round one, Warriors game, he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal defensively.
The other one for me is Tommy Hazelton. Only played the 24 minutes, but how about that try?
Oh.
Two big right foot steps. Remind me of Benji Marshall at Shark Park in 05. Bang, bang, and straight over. This bloke, we've spoken about him as a cult hero a few times now, from Goulburn. Got the big roll on deodorant head. I just love this bloke. And, yeah, get around him.
Yeah,
get
Hazelton. Mate, and he's another one. You know, if he can develop further and further each year, it just rounds his forward pack out even better.
Wasn't that a wild afternoon, that arvo at Shark Park? When Benji did that, it was almost like the game's changed all of a sudden. Yeah.
Rugby league has changed forever.
Yeah. Mulatalo.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, he must be the most loved man in Cronulla this year. He's been outstanding. Outstanding. And just his ability, I say it all the time, but he's so deceptively strong and fast. Mm. Like, every part of his game, whether it's strength, speed, reading. I just feel like he's deceptive. Like you almost don't expect it, and then he'll just do something absolutely crazy, and you go, mate, you do that nearly every game. He's playing outstanding.
There was a moment in this game where I think it was Kyle Felt tackling him down their corner, and he sort of twisted his leg or dragged it a little bit. Mulitalo stood up and he was spraying Kyle Felt as he played the ball, and I thought, oh, poor Kyle Felt, he's never going to hear the end of this. They went two to the right, then came back to the left, and Mulitalo came back on screaming, and he was still yelling at him. It's like a 30-second spray. He's the best. Oh,
it's so good. Ramien, I thought, was outstanding as well. Like he Jesse Ramien doesn't get the raps he deserves, in my opinion. Mm. He's consistently been great for the Sharkies and very rarely goes underneath a 7 out of 10 for a game.
One of the best defensive centres in the NRL and has been for a long time.
Yep, and then you add in his attack, 21 runs, 152 metres, 52 post contact, 4 tackle breaks.
3 offloads as well. It's the other thing that Ramien does. He just gets into contact and he gets his arm free and they generate so much momentum off the back of him.
I tell you what, for what he's getting paid, like bang for buck wise, I don't think Fitzy would want another centre.
Mm.
Matter of fact, you go across that back line, like I don't think he'd want to change that much, Fitzy, in regards to where you put your money and how much they're all getting paid. Because like none of those outside backs would be on a like gigantic wicket. And yet if they get good, you know, get Adam Fanua Blake or maybe just one more star player, they're premiership contenders.
They have absolute, like they're potentially premiership contenders this year. Next year with AFB, they're 100% premiership contenders.
Yeah.
Isn't Jesse Ramien, like at the end of his career, you're going to look back and just completely forget that year at Newcastle?
Yeah.
I almost forget about it now.
Mm.
I do as well. I forget about it.
Did we, last year, were we heaps critical of Cronulla's completion rate? Was that a thing or am I making it up?
I do think they had issues for a bit about their completion rate, but then they turned it around.
Anyway, they're at 79% this year. And 79% completion this year and like 90-odd% on the weekend.
Yeah.
Good signs.
Blake Brayley, that try assist that he had, outstanding. Outstanding. So just an all-round great performance. Kofusi flying under the radar, getting the job done though. Just T. Wilton, how good was he?
Oh, far out, he runs, I love T. Wilton.
He runs a bloody good line.
Yeah.
Sharks most errors last year.
There you go.
On average per game.
Yeah, Wilton's been a big improver this year. He got injured during last year and then Wade Graham took his spot. And I sort of thought at the time, geez, I reckon that Wilton injury maybe saved him from a tough conversation. But he's come back this year and hasn't put a foot wrong.
Well, how much, this is how much the Sharkies have improved. Have we mentioned their left side defence once this year?
No.
Like, that is a really good sign.
And that was the other thing. Like, once that left edge changed, I thought, geez, Hines is going to get some traffic. He's going to get shown up this year. But his defence has improved out of sight. And that's what you expect from a Craig Fitzgibbon side.
Yeah. And that's where his comments around, you know, we're, you know, not like people are underestimating us and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's paraphrasing what he said. But it is true to a degree. Like, he's in his second, third year of as a coach. He's taken on this squad and built it up. This is about the time, this year or next year, is about the time where you would expect a premiership run to happen. You wouldn't expect, usually, a team that finished eighth, anywhere from 8th to 11th, unless there's a huge roster clean out and they just get some superstar that just changes everything. You wouldn't expect them in their first or second year just go, yep, premiership. Usually you've got to build the roster, especially if you're being smart about it. You know, like if you want to throw your salary cap out of whack and get guys that are in their peak year, but then the 2 or 3 years after that, they'll peter off. You can do that. But if you're building smart for the future and for the next few years, it's going to take you a few years to get to that peak point.
If Dale Finucane's available this week, do you think he comes straight back into this side?
I think he gets a bench spot.
Yeah?
At the very least, a bench spot, I'd say. But, I mean, it's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have, yeah, because all the guys on the bench are going good.
Who do you drop?
You'd probably have to say Jack Williams.
He's been so good.
Jack Williams won't get dropped.
No.
Well, that's my question then. Who do you drop? Yeah, Rudolph? I'm not totally convinced he comes straight back in. I know that sounds outrageous, but...
Yeah.
That's just... And to think this is a four... They're essentially running... They are a four middle forward bench because Cifu's coming on through the middle and he still can't get onto it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know if he will come straight.
It's great. It's a great problem to have. Really, really good problem to have. Now, on to the Cowboys. Disaster. Look, the silver lining is we know the Cowboys have the team to turn it around. We know that they have the team on paper to be able to go on a run, even though they're not at that point yet where they need to go on a run. But it's not like you're looking at their roster going, you know, there's no way back from here. They're still sitting eighth, so that's a positive. But I have to say, with the roster they've got, they should be absolutely at the top of the table, near the top of the table. I think that if they don't make the finals again this year, I do think there's going to have to be questions asked around coaching. This squad is honestly way too good on paper to be losing games like this.
I'm starting to reconsider whether it is, and that's because of the fall pack. I think a month ago we were saying that they were winning, like they look 100% like flat track bullies at the moment. I'm just so concerned. Like, they've got some soft weeks coming up after Penrith this week, but I don't know how this pack is going to get up against the best packs in the competition. Like, maybe they're a top eight side, but like McLean getting on a bit, Taumalolo's knees look quite shot. They're lucky to get decent minutes out of him. Fini Fuiaki on the edge going okay, but doesn't offer a lot of output. He's explosive, sure. Gajewski, Cotter can only do so much. I don't know if they... I'm so unconvinced by the forward pack at the moment.
See, I agree. Like, for example, I do think McLean and Taumalolo... The Taumalolo one's interesting because I'm unsure. Is it the injury or is it the fact that it just hasn't seemed to work with Payton? McLean does seem like he's getting a bit... He's aging a bit. So why not Griffin Neame? He's a gun.
Why not Griffin Neame? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, why not play him bigger minutes?
Sam McIntyre has been quite solid for him. McKaylee, how's he going? So I agree with you in regards to maybe McLean is a bit behind, you know, compared to the other top tier ones. But even with that, the rest of this roster, Nanai, Cotter, Fini Fuaki, I know he's still got it in him to be gun.
And they've got like, considering they've got some aging middles and question marks around their middle forwards, Ruben Cotter being the exception to that, between Fini Fuaki, Gajewski, who started on the weekend, and I, they've got really low work rate edges. So it's not, I don't feel like it's a very well-rounded pack at the moment. You know, the one that I think they're missing so much from last year is Luciano Leilua, who could transition between edge and middle so easily for them based on what they needed, because they're also missing Helam Lukey, who is a big work rate edge back row and runs for his 150, 180 metres a game. So he can't come back quick enough for them, but they are missing Luciano big time.
And I think compounding missing Luch is Cohen Hess not being available has hurt them as well big time.
I still have to question though, like, although I agree with you when you look at, you know, where Taumalolo is, and, you know, we spoke about it actually before the show, how we both felt, you know, that front row, can it go with some of the top tier front rows? Is it getting a bit older? I still think that they should be playing better than they're playing.
Well, they're about to get Penrith this week, and they're going to get Leota and Fisher-Harris. Let's see what you're made of, boys, because after that performance, you need to get up. You're at home in front of your fans, and you got the best two front rows in the game, essentially, certainly on results. What do you got?
Taumalolo had 5 runs for 43 metres. What is going on there?
Tim, you mentioned it before, that term, flat track bully. I mean, they play the Panthers this week, and I'm the same as Tim. I want to see them stand up in that game, because after that, they go Dolphins at home, Titans, Rabbitohs, Tigers, Roosters. Outside of the Dolphins, none of those teams are in form. Nothing's going to shit me more than if they set the world alight across those 4 weeks, and then they get the Warriors in round 14, and they're disappointing again.
Yeah, it's just, if they can just sort out their front row, they should be one of a top tier side. If McLean and Taumalolo can get through, like, I don't know, just be more explosive.
And like, nothing I've seen yet this year from their middles says that there's an answer there and that there is a solution. I don't know if there is.
Well, but last year they would go on these runs and play Matt, and then all of a sudden they'd, you know, be inconsistent. I don't know. I feel like this roster should not be this up and down. Should not be this up and down.
This will sound outrageous in a 42-6 loss, but there was a moment earlier in that game where Drinkwater was going over the sideline. He threw an offload, and Cronulla picked it up and scored.
Because he thought he was going over,
I get why offload, but, like, fuck, they're such a volatile side, the Cowboys, that I wonder, like, if that play went differently and the Sharks didn't score so early like that, I wonder if it could have been a different game.
Maybe.
Because they are a bit like that. Like, as soon as you start to get momentum against them, as soon as they have momentum against them, they sort of fall into a heap. But when they start to score, they can get on a real run all of a sudden.
And you look at you look at attitude in them. Mulitalo scores late in the game. I don't know if, can't remember if it was his 54th minute try or the 73rd. He got the last two. And he just goes to put it down and goes, oh, no. Just strolls around under the post. There's not a player there going in front. I know that the game's dead and buried, but that's not the point. Like,
well, but that's my point in regards to, like, okay, we can nitpick the forward pack and, you know, look for reasons as to maybe they aren't as strong on paper. But situations like that is unacceptable. Like, just allowing a guy to rot, no matter what the score is. And it's surprising because, like, Dearden and Cotter, that's the opposite of who they are. And they're the captains.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You know, four errors from Drinky, you know, obviously not good. Two errors from McLean, which is like, you obviously can't have that as a fronty. Nanai had a couple errors. Yeah, I don't know, like, super underachieving. As I said, I feel like we can nitpick their front row, and I agree with you. Like, when it comes to, like, the big games, can that front row go with Payne Haas, Carrigan, you know, all that kind of stuff, Fisher Harris, Leota? But at the end of the day, this roster, look what Jesse Bromwich, he's older. Jesse Bromwich and Jesse McLean, like, they're almost similar body shapes. And yet, look what he's doing, leading that pack around, the Dolphins. And so I just think that, So Dolphins come out. I know it's a different week. Dolphins come out and absolutely slap the Eels, smash them. The week before, Cowboys lose to them. So that says to me, like, if we want to criticise, you know, let's go, okay, let's look at their forward pack. Then we have to go, well, look at some of these other teams like the Dolphins. Look at the Bulldogs forward pack. Who would you take over that, like?
Yeah, 100%.
You're like,
yeah,
the Bulldogs forward pack compared to this forward pack, you would say that is, like, not even close on paper.
If did any of you listen to Toddy Payton's press conference after?
No.
He sounds like a guy that's going to make changes this week to me. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
I think he has to. Yeah. I think he absolutely has to.
Kaylee will come in, has to.
Yeah. Surely.
Nanai got dropped to the bench this week.
Neem start, you think?
Yeah, I reckon McCallie comes in, probably Neem starts. And
Helam Lukey's next week or two. Can't wait for him to come back.
Mm.
Not as much as Payton, but.
What do you do with Taumalolo?
Very tough spot.
But yeah, they got to turn this around. As I said, like, look, if we want to have the argument of premiership tier, I think that's a fair argument to have because they're not delivering what we thought of. But dishing out that when you've got other teams with half the forward pack, I just think that's just crazy. Yeah. Craziness. So Cowboys, another team, hopefully they can turn around because, by God, when they're on, it is the best rugby league ever to watch, seriously. And it's a bit similar to the Manly situation where obviously Manly are doing better at the moment. But if you don't sort that defence out, eventually, it will bite you in the ass. It really will. You won't attack your way out of every single game. And I think we saw that in the weekend.
Yeah, like they could make the eight this year with the worst defensive record in the competition and get belted week one.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The finals, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. So that is the Cowboys done and doosted.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.